นี้ท่องได้ไหม
I was here.
Hey, I can give you some.
Sure.
Okay, so.
I'll try, but I know you're not going to.
Okay, whatever works.
And it's Roman Bridges' fault?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But I didn't want
to. I'd like to hear Bob's bringing me a chair.
Wow. He wouldn't even bring me a chair.
I'll be up on
Here. She said here.
So go down there and sit.
I'll go down there and sit with the hoodlums.
My goodness.
But he's a weird newspaper here.
Well, I'll have him raise the
chair.
All right.
Okay, he's doing the video. Okay. My pleasure to call to order the Taney County Planning Commission's public hearing session, Monday, July 12th. Mr. Coxie, if you'll please establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Jim Braun, Rick Caudell.
Here.
While we're there, if I could pause just a second. Rick Caudell, down here at the end, wave your hand right by Rick, has replaced Mr. Bronner in this. This is Rick's first meeting, and he knows very little. He's gotten very little from us and everything like that, but this is a good one to start on. So anyway, okay. If you hadn't had the opportunity to see Mr. Caudell, Mr. Caudell represents the Oliver Township, and actually he lives not too far from where Mr. Bronner lives over there off of 265. So. Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pinkleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we're at 100%. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's move on then to the explaining of the meeting procedures for tonight.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the commission, to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment if they so choose. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Taney County Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comments shall be taken unless expressly requested by the commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on then, if we may. The first hearing under consideration this evening is the Watkins subdivision.
Before we get into this, I'm going to make public that we are having some technical difficulties in a lot of areas. One of them is going to be video, and we will try to show you some of these videos. However, we have been experiencing some compatibility issues as far as our camera and the system that's used to play this back. We will try to give you whatever aerial views that we can on these, but and I will try to play those, but buffering seems to be an issue, so we'll be aware of that, and we'll do what we can. I do want to, as we get started in this, tell you that we did have a ride-along with us when we took these videos. But it's not her fault.
You're not going to miss it. Because he let me shoot the videos.
I
and he said we were having technical
time,
difficulties.
But,
I wanted to make sure
but
it wasn't my fault.
The videos are there and they're good. But it's, for some reason, it's just not compatible with this playback system.
Okay.
And we may have to wait and show you the videos next week.
Okay. Well, let's move on then to the Watkins subdivision.
This is the public hearing for the Watkins subdivision, State Highway 176, lots 3 and 4, Section 9, Township 24, Range 21 in the Jasper Township. The applicant requests approval to develop three lots out of some existing lots that are there. So he's actually going to has two lots that he'll modify and turn it into three different lots. History is that it was approved for concept on June 21st, 2010. The subject property is located at Walnut Shade, State Highway 176. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. The proposed site will consist of three lots on 26.31 acres. Lot 3A would be 5 acres, Lot 4A would be 10 acres, and Lot 4B will be a total of 11.31 acres. The project scored 13 out of a possible 33 on the policy checklist. Items receiving a negative score were emergency water supply. There is not one out there, as there is not in many places. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, sediment and erosion control. B, stormwater management. C, land grading permits. D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain. E, utility easements and building line setbacks. F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. G, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire district. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, Division 1 permits required for all applicable structures in the development. And number five, the decision of record to be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
So okay. What do we have?
Let me see what I can find for you. That's not the one I'm looking for, I don't think. I believe that is this one. So look fast. She had a little trouble kind of, you know. I tell you the wind was blowing, but it wasn't.
Thanks, Eddie. We were in hurricane season when I was doing.
If you drive by this, you just see basically some big open fields here. And there are a couple of houses around, and pretty steep. You see how that hillside falls off there. And, you know, so you're going to have to look at these quick. That is what it's going to show you, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, is there a map? That
let me see if I can bring that up for you. I believe I do have that. It's here, and I believe it starts there. Let me make this. This is going to be the area off of 176, am I right? I'm pretty sure I'm correct there. No, that's the Watkins subdivision right here.
Okay.
If you remember, this was a previously platted subdivision. And as you can see in the black lines, let me see if I can find me a... give me just a second. I'll use my mouse then. On the black lines here, these are all indicative of the lots that are out there, of the Watkins subdivision as it exists. What they're doing is they're going to take these two lots here and create the additional lot. I want to try and show that to you here. This is the plat that you have. So those two lots will become this with the creation of... of the additional lot, I believe this was going to be the additional lot here that you end up with. So.
Okay, and this is for real estate purposes that the lot split is happening. This was a family situation again, if I remember.
I believe he is wanting to split this off so that his son can take possession of that. It is, as far as road frontages and lot sizes and everything like that, does meet the criteria. The lots up there, of course, in the Watkins subdivision are fairly large lots.
Okay. And is the gentleman representing this property here? Okay. Do you want to come forward just a minute, if you would, please? Okay. And is there property on your... You have a house.
Yes.
On the 5-acre lot, is that right? Or on the...
No, I actually have... My house is on the 16-acre lot right now.
Okay.
I think he was off on his yellow stuff when he...
Durham. I think he was off to the west by one.
Okay.
He was showing these two.
That's what I wonder, because on the...
That one. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, when he was showing it on there, I think he was off one lot.
Okay. And your name, please?
Tim Watkins.
Okay. Tim?
Tim. T-I-M.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Watkins. No one has signed up to speak on this, so we'll close the hearing on this project.
This is basically, you know, a lot split. That's why the overall score was 33, a total of 33 points it could be taken. And as we read the summaries there, basically none of that applies as far as permits and everything. He's not asking to build anything. He's just asking to split the property.
And since it's already been split.
As by code, yeah, he has to come back before you to do that.
Okay. We'll see you next Monday night. Moving along to project number 2, Spring Creek Park, lot 13.
Okay. I want to find that real quick before I... And Ms. Kleinfelter, before I get into this, if I could, I believe there's some letters here that one of the individuals gave us. He was going to have to leave, and I'm going to hand those to you. Okay. This is the Division 3 staff. And before I start into this, too, also, do you want the summary read every time?
No, not the last part, unless there's significant change.
This too, is a lot split, similar to what you saw just a second ago. This is the Division 3 staff report for Spring Creek Park, Lot 13, dated July 12, 2010, case number 10-15. This is the public hearing for Spring Creek Park, Lot 13, Section 12, Township 22, Range 22 in the Branson Township. The applicant requests approval to split one lot into three lots. History is that it was approved for concept on June 21st, 2010. General description is the subject property is located at 203 Blackberry Drive. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. Review: the proposed site would consist of three single-family residential lots. The project scored a 2 out of a possible 29 on the policy checklist. Items receiving a negative score were emergency water supply and right-of-way of roads. The summary is as mentioned before. The decision of record to be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. I brought this to you last month. If you remember, this is the overall lot here. Sewer has been brought down into this area, and the county code says that now, with that being the case, minimum lot size on public treatment facilities, 8,000 square foot with 70-foot of frontage. This request is to actually split this into three lots, with one of the splits coming here. We'll get down into that just a little bit, and one here. Now, this road is substandard, and the plat that has been presented to us will include the additional road frontages that are required to make the road wide enough. If you remember, down on this end, this becomes the city of Branson, and I believe a condominium type project in there at this particular time. So let me see if I can get you on down here. This is the overview with how this would like to be split up, and that will be what I have for you on that.
Okay, the first signature that I have is John Mahaffey.
No, that was a mistake.
Okay, so you were on another project. Then Mr. Rod Phillips, please. Okay, and if you'll come forward, Rod, and introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Rod Phillips. Can I show where Mr. Mahaffey and myself have property according to this?
Can you go back?
Yes, I can.
There's a pointer up there, probably.
Okay. This is the 203 Blackberry. This is Mr. Mahaffey's house here. He's here, and this is my property across the street. I have two lots. I bought them as a subdivided property, and I built my house on it 14 years ago. I'm current and have been a water operator of these two streets, Blackberry Street and Sweet Gum Street, which is to the bottom of the map. There are 13 households on it currently, and our main concern, there are a number of them, I left a letter there, but our main concern is the having to do with our well. Twice in the last 15 years, we've had to add additional lengths onto the well because the well went dry. Those 13 households were without water for some time, both of those times, and
The well driller told us that, in fact, we could go no lower with the well. It's now at 456 feet. So they added 110 feet. That's as far as they could go. So our main concern with myself and the other landowners that are co-signed on this letter that I sent was that we don't have more water available for any more lots. The number one, their concern is having to do, of course, with lifestyle change. This is we landowners own the road, Blackberry Street, and it's sort of an ill repair. Of course, there has been a sewer project going on it for the last 6 months. It's somewhat better, but it's still going to remain in the ownership of the owners. It's unimproved, substandard, as you said. Let's see here. Okay, well, the road, and the other thing is that, of course, in all of our, in the bylaws having to do with Spring Creek Park, every time when all of us owners bought it, it says in there specifically that there's not to be any subdivisions. And, of course, we all bought our land with that understanding that there was not going to be any more density of population. Also, this area right in here is a drainage area, and that would be a major area of concern for us. The water comes across here and down and across the road right there. But the well is the main area of concern that we have, and that's about it. I have to go to work, so.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
Rod.
Thank you. Okay. Is the landowner here? Okay. Do you want to come forward and explain anything further? You are the resident in this house right now.
I've got some questions.
Okay, and we may have some questions, so why don't you come forward, please, and introduce yourself.
My name's Brad Gillum.
Okay, and you've owned the property for how long?
About 5 years, I believe.
Okay.
Hi, Brad. One of the questions I've got, I was going to ask him, but he had to leave, so I'll ask you.
Okay.
You know, talking about the water, and this is just I'd assume that you could also dig your own well in that subdivision.
Yes. And that's probably what I would do. I mean, obviously, if the well wouldn't handle that, then I would definitely drill my own well.
I was going to ask about that, if that was something that you had planned to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, could you put up the next, because I think there was something there you were showing about how those lots were kind of going to be split. I mean, the best we can kind of overlay it there. And those, Eddie, those all would meet the setbacks?
8,000 square feet.
I know the minimums, but the setbacks for the house that already exists there?
Yes, and that was something that was described before they ever began to look at this. I told him he would have to, on the side of this house, the lot, the line here has got to be 7 feet from the furthest overhang, as does this one. And then this would have to meet the 25 feet.
And that includes the right-of-way, us taking the additional right-of-way for the right-of-way?
According to this plat, yes, sir, it does. This plat would meet county requirements, as far as I could tell, when visiting site and anything like that, and according to what
I wanted to ask those questions to make sure that all the requirements were met before we even went any further.
Also, the
I might have missed. I was gone last time for some of that. So
these houses in this area are all on septic. So he understands that before we would even consider signing a plat, that this house would have to be placed on the sewer system, as would when permits were issued for any building on the other lots that would be created to be placed on the sewer system.
I've got to say, I don't see any more in this subdivision that are quite that small.
Actually,
I mean, there's some just to the east.
There are, and I checked this because I talked to Mr. Gillum about this. If you go up and down to the right here, in that subdivision, and I can try to pull that up on Beacon if you'd like real quick.
They're not on our photos that we have here, because that's all I was looking at.
No, down further toward the end of the street, the lots are running about this range here, not like lot 13 or something like that, where they're about a quarter of an acre or so, 11,000 square feet. That was an area that I discussed with Mr. Gillum, that if these lots became smaller than what was in the area, it would be an issue. But Now, across the street from him, there's a little bit, you know, some of the lots are a little larger, but when you go down toward the end of the street and the surrounding area, they do fall into the same range.
Okay, I was just looking at the ones that were right next to him. They're 158 yes. by 100, basically. Right. And that says, I think, 115 by something and 84 by something on the other side.
Basically, the biggest the house could be is 68 by 74.
Well, yeah, and that's what we do now. I mean, that's our minimum lot size, 8,000 square feet, yeah. and meeting setbacks. So let me see if I can. I'll bring that.
What'd the stock market do, Eddie?
Hey,
he wants to keep us up on current events.
Yes.
May we go ahead and ask some questions while you're...
Sure, I'm going to bring up this neighborhood for
while
you,
you're searching. Okay. Why do you want to do this?
Just future, possibly to build a house on. And
For
maybe possibly a rental or to sell it.
Okay, so real estate purposes is what you're about here. Okay. Okay. So, again, this is not a family enclave or anything like that that you're building.
No. And, you know, I do have, I mean, I've got a copy of the restrictive covenants and conditions. And, you know, first of all, it is, you know, the 30 years is way out of date. It was made in 73, and it was good for 30 years. So, I mean, it does not state in these covenants that the only thing that it says at any time, plot 14 is divided into lots, which is the lot across from me, is divided into lots. Such lots must contain not less than 15,000 square feet. So they're saying something about lot 14, but no other lots besides that one.
I'm going to comment on that just so it's, I mean, really that's something that, covenants are something that anybody would pursue civilly. It's
right.
It's really not something that we,
right.
You know, we look at it from our zoning codes
right.
in the county.
Okay.
And see if it fits and makes sense to go there.
I guess I just brought that up because sure. that was brought up earlier. But.
Sure. I was going to make a comment on that, but he left.
So. Okay.
Where does the sewer line run?
It runs down the middle of the road.
Okay.
In keeping with tonight's theme, map not currently available on the
okay.
So, but I'll show you where this the sewer line runs right down the middle of the street. So,
and yet that's going to have septic, or it's going to have sewer after those are.
That is where the new sewer line is. This house is currently on septic. We cannot split it until it is attached to the sewer.
Okay, so
and the reason. So the sewer line runs down the middle of the street, and we actually walked over several of the manhole covers when we did that. So this street's a little bit torn up right now, but it is there, and it is available to be hooked into.
And the road, when does the road become an issue as we increase the number of residences back in that area?
Well, it could be an issue for you today. It is not... the responsibility of the residents, I believe that is, if I'm not mistaken, a county road. I don't know that Sir Frank is it.
I
don't know that it's
I'm
a private
sure.
road.
Sure.
He has met his obligation as far as our code book to grant to us the additional footage necessary for us to widen the road if we would so choose. But normally in this situation in a residential area, the residents themselves are not responsible for the upkeep of the road. If you feel it's too small, of course, that can be a safety issue for you. And, you know, a concern, it may be something you'd like to discuss. I would say, you know, if you say the road's got to be widened to a certain amount of feet, that you could make that his responsibility. I don't know that that's where you'd want to go or anything like that, but he would only have the right to do it on his side of the road. He can't, you know, widen the whole road or anything like that, and he's not responsible for that.
Not at this time, thank you. Is there an aerial view of the neighborhood?
That's what I was trying to bring up in Big, and I will try that again for you and everything, but at this particular juncture, it has not been.
This one's a little farther out. Is your only interest if you split this is splitting it into three lots? No split or three lots?
Well, it's basically, you know, the house is in the center of that. To answer your question, I mean, I would entertain, you know, I mean.
I'd like to see the GIS because that still looks smaller. Those lots are significantly smaller to me when you split them into three than what we have a picture of.
We have to go on
I know you can't do it now, but, yeah. I mean, sometime.
Okay.
Gentlemen,
Eddie, when we were out there, did you not determine or suggest that he's got a carport, that it might have to be moved closer to the house because it was too close to the lot line?
It is possible that carport, according to the stakes there, because we didn't walk to the very back to see the back stake. Whatever's out there existing, because the carport is attached to the house, has to meet the 7-foot setback. And we did discuss that. And according to what the surveyor gave us, that would be the case. Now, before we would sign off on a plat, we would go back out there and make sure of that, if there was any issues or anything like that. But, according to what the surveyor is doing, and he's the one that signs this and licenses it, because we have to go on their measurements and everything, he is saying that this plat, as he's drawn it, will... let me get you back to it real quick. This will meet the setbacks. It will have its 8,000 square feet. It will have its frontage on the road. And that the existing structure in this lot here will not violate any of the standards. I know the comment's been made several times, and even Ms. Martin made that on site there, that 8,000 square foot doesn't seem like much of a lot.
It looked really good.
But, again, that is the minimum standard, and you'll notice all of the subdivisions that we do come through here, mm-hmm. they normally try to hang pretty close to that and no more. So it's not any smaller than any other lot that we would create. In the event that there was any kind of an issue with the setback on this, and this is the carport right here, if I'm not mistaken, that we were seeing.
But you say by Monday we will have an aerial view of the neighborhood so that we can do a lot.
We should have. I would get it for you now. Okay. This is the aerial view, not of the whole neighborhood, of the house. But we can get you one of the whole neighborhood, yes, ma'am. And I don't know if the map that Marla put in your packets let me see if I've got a map in my packet here.
Well, let me move on, Mr. Gillum. Thank you. And there's a young lady in the back that, if you have some concerns and want to come forward and introduce yourself, we'll allow you to do that.
Yes. Rick, if you take these and pass them down. This will give you a better view of part of the neighborhood. I don't know that you have those or not.
Okay. Again, if you'll introduce yourself, please.
I'm Pat Mahaffey. You have to excuse me. I've got a bad cold. So.
Okay.
The roads are not county roads unless the county's planning on taking them over after the sewage is done, because that's where we were informed that was what was going to happen.
Who informed you of that?
I believe the surveyor did when they were, beginning the road. He said he thought that the county would be taking them over. So as of right now, those are private residential roads. And the roads, if you go down them, a lot of the portions you cannot go side by side. They are single road going in there. And I don't know the gentleman that's going to be doing this, but I don't believe you live in the house, do you? It is rental property, and I believe that is what he is planning on doing with the other two lots also.
Okay.
So I think that was all I needed to say.
Thank you, Mrs. Mahaffey.
If you look at those aerial drawings that I just sent down your way, the 100 by 145 feet lots give you about 14,000 square feet, there's several of those, and then you have these one there on the corner that's 100 by 155, which would be 15. So all of those fall less than a half acre, 43,560 square feet or something like that in an acre. So they're falling about a third. And these other ones would fall just under a quarter, or just right at a quarter.
Okay. We'll be making our decision next Monday night. Okay, ready to move on? Any further questions? Okay, let's move on to proposal number three. And it deals with the National Institute of Marriage.
This is Division 3 staff report for the National Institute of Marriage, dated July 12, 2010, case number 10-12. This is the public hearing for the National Institute of Marriage, section 22, township 23, range 21, in the Branson Township. The applicant requests approval to operate a marriage counseling resort. History is that it was approved for concept on June 21, 2010. General description, the subject property is located at 210 Ella Lane. The adjoining properties to the request consist of agricultural, residential, and multi-use. Review, the proposed site would consist of an existing single-family dwelling, which will be used for dining, counseling, check-in, administration, and living quarters. Two new buildings are planned for counseling administration, a 154-seat chapel, multi-use purpose building, maintenance and housekeeping, and 25 guest cabins. Amenities on the site consist of a boat dock, gazebo, fire pit, and walking trails. The project scored 12 out of a possible 103 on the checklist. Items receiving a negative score were emergency water supply, waste disposal service, stormwater drainage, utilities, emergency services, water system, and traffic. And the summary is as mentioned before, decision of record to be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or it would expire. Before we get into this, I'll remind you this again is off of T30. You go down T-Highway off T30 back into the back there. If you'll remember, in 2006, we permitted this property under a Mr. DeLillo for a bed and breakfast with the permit to create an additional five cabins out there on septic. Somewhere down the line, this project came to us quite a bit larger than what it was at the present time. But somewhere down the line, a parcel, and if you'll see my cursor, this parcel here, it got sold off, and I believe this parcel here got sold off. And I don't remember seeing a plat come through our office to that effect. So this may have been done with just a survey or something to that effect. Yeah, in so doing, what we have here is a flag lot, and I want you to know that you'll see this says Ella. Ella is not, from what I can gather, it is not a platted road. It is not a platted road easement. Ella is a flag off of this lot that allows this lot to have the frontage that it needs to be split like that onto Sunset Inn Road. However, I believe I've seen this owner here and this owner here do have a written ingress-egress easement allowing them to pass over the property here to access their properties. Keep in mind, even though there's a sign there and there are addresses that say Ella Road is not platted as a road easement that I can find. I'm not going to say that somebody won't come up with something different, but that is how that goes. The request was to create this project in several phases. Phase one being just to use the project exactly like it sits at a very limited capacity, and then to expand, and we'll get into that, to phase two, where they would actually build a couple of buildings and a cabin, when the necessity came that they would have to add the water treatment plant, of course, that would come in. And then, of course, the final phase would be all the total 25 cabins, the two counseling buildings, some different things like that. Site for the project right now, 10.22 acres. And you did ask for some clarification from the developer for the possibility of these easements and how things were going to work. So remember that he is supposed to bring that back to you. Let me see.
Would you give the acreage again, Eddie, please?
10.22 is what is available there now. And I believe we've got some new pictures of the project. If you want to see those without an explanation, you can. This would be the artist concept of those, where we showed you those phases last time. Or if you want to wait till he's up and needs them, however you would choose to go, it doesn't matter to me. But do you want to see those now? I don't think without an explanation they'll do you any good. So that is where it is, and we'll let you go from there.
Okay. We have several people that want to speak to this issue. Mr. Rod Redard. Okay, Mr. Redard or Redard?
Redard, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Roger Darden. I live at 2097 Sunset Inn, just around the corner from where this is going in. First off, there's a lot of things that can go in under marriage counseling. Now, this says National Institute of Marriage Counseling. Okay. There's a lot of fly-by-night stuff. You can go on the Internet and pay a couple $100 and get a certificate that says you're a counselor. I'm a counselor, too. Education counselor and teacher with a number of years' experience in that. So my question is to the commission, has these people presented even any kind of credentials to be even a licensed counselor? Then under that, okay, what kind of marriage counseling resort is this thing going to be? There's a big house down there, and then there's going to be two more buildings, and then 25 cabins. Okay, there's been a lot of things down there on that property and in and around this corner down there. And everything, we're fixing to come up on 2 years that we've lived there at this house. And one of the reasons we bought this place is it's in a nice, quiet neighborhood. It's a little one-lane road going down there. Ella Lane is even smaller. Now, if they're planning on packing in 25 couples every weekend, well, there's at least 25 cars, and then you got to have the staff to take care of that, and there's another half a dozen or dozen or two. So there's 50 or 60 cars coming in there every weekend. Right now, our traffic has increased about fourfold since we've moved there in 2 years, and we wonder what's going on down there. Because it's basically, there's nothing there. It's a dead end. So where is everybody going? So it's interrupting the quiet surroundings. And if you bring this much people in there, there's going to be a lot more quiet going to be taken away from that. Plus there's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit down through there. There's cars coming through there at 40 and 50 miles an hour. And I don't know what their need is to get down there. But again, how big are the, you only have 10.22 acres? Well, you're going to put 25 cabins back there? How big are these cabins going to be? They're going to be little one-room type things. They're going to be A-frame. Real nice things. It could be turned into a timeshare a little bit later on. Because the marriage counseling thing could go out the window tomorrow. Y'all approve something like that, and then all of a sudden we've got a timeshare resort right around the corner from us. And I don't believe there's any one of us want that there. Like I said, the traffic's increased fourfold. I know there's already some discussion about the concerns about Ella Lane and who owns that. And what's going to happen to that? If there's going to be any kind of upgrade, and if you're going to bring a lot of traffic in there, who's going to pay for the road upgrade? Who's going to give up the right-of-ways and stuff? I don't have any to give away. And I'm not about to give it away to some fly-by-night something. The environmental impact of this. The drainage, sewer, all of this, there's already one problem in the neighborhood. And another part out there, not very far from us. And it's a sewerage problem. Some days it's pretty horrendous, particularly in the fall. The wind's blowing just right. And things aren't necessarily that good over there on that hill. And these are just some of the concerns that I feel like need to be addressed.
Mr. Redard?
Yes.
I'm sorry, are you through?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of questions. On that map, can you identify the location of your property?
Okay.
Let's see, this is Ella Lane, I think, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right. And my house should be right. Let's see, this is.
Yeah.
That's Sunset Inn Lane.
That's Sunset, okay.
Let me...
That's the Davises right there, and I should be probably right here. Somewhere right in here.
That's you.
And did I understand that you implied that there already is traffic going into this property?
Well, I'm not sure where it's going.
There are several...
Yes, there's a big home down here.
And then up here in the back corner over there.
And now I know a lot of them are dragging boats and stuff in here, and they're going, so I know there's a landing down here and that sort of thing, and they can put their boat in.
This is on a cliff right here.
Yes.
I mean, that's a drop-off right there.
Okay. But there's only...
But there's a house here, and there's a house here. No, there's some houses down in here, too, I believe, that access this way, if I'm not mistaken.
But there's only one residence on the land under consideration. Is that correct?
Right now, this is the residence on here.
Okay.
That's on this property. Yes, ma'am. But there are when you come back here, they're using this road, there are a couple places back in here that access
that way. They're using that road for access.
There's one right, I think this might be mine right here. There's a house right here.
And
there's another house right there, and to get in, you got to come down the yellow lane and come around here to get back in here.
Okay. So there is.
This is my place right here. Because I believe that's my barn, we call it anyway. It's my shop.
Okay. Mr. Redard, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Gary Gildlesberger.
Come on, Sears.
How'd I do? It's an Irish name.
G-I-N-D-N.
L-E-S-L-E-S. Burger.
B-E-R-G-E-R. Burger.
Got it. Okay.
Burger.
Okay. Thank you.
My question is really, we took possession of this house 30 of Jim.
Okay, and of which house?
I think there's a little pointer up there if y'all would rather try and use it.
Huh? A little laser pointer. We'll shine the light on the screen with a red dot. There
you go. Wow. That's Ella Lane. Right in there.
Okay. And you took possession, you say January?
No, June.
June of 2010?
Yes.
Okay.
Just 12 days ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We come to Missouri because we love it down here, and it's quiet, and we found this house, we bought it. Now we've been told that the road isn't a road and it don't belong to... I've got a deal here that says the county's got an easement on it.
Okay. And because you're coming in off of Ella Lane to access your house, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
What is your address, sir?
Huh?
What is your address?
217 Ella Lane.
It is, okay. Because I knew there was a couple that had addresses on Ella Lane. Also, there is a...
13.85 feet.
So there's an easement here. And I don't know if that was intended to supply these people or not.
From Mr. Davis's property line,
right.
I've got from Sunset...
Yeah, right.
I got 13.85 feet.
And that's this little space right here.
Going down by Ella Lane. And from that point on, 50 foot is a county easement, which takes in the road. Now, I've been told that it is not, they can't find record of it here in the courthouse. But if any of you knows, Aaron Schaffner, there in Branson, he's a realtor and a broker. He has got the paper that shows where it's at here in the courthouse. Now, I don't know how to explain that to you. It's in so-and-so something, paragraph so-and-so, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, you have a document in your hand and...
No. I got
you know, a document. Sure. Sure.
I don't want to get thrown in jail.
She's not Judge Judy.
Yeah, we haven't done that for a long time. Okay. So this is your plat.
This is Sunset.
Okay.
This is Ella Lane.
Uh-huh.
This over here is where this marriage encounter is.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Okay. This is Mr. Davis. This is the gentleman that just possessed. Mm-hmm. So I got this 13.5 foot here.
Okay.
And then my house is set right here.
Got it.
The only way I can get to my house is down Ella Lane.
Right.
And I've been
Looks
told
like it.
Our property.
I think you're fine. Eddie, do you have a copy of this?
This is what I was telling you before. This is one of those surveys that was done. It was filed. It did not come through our office, and it creates these kind of issues. Had this come before our office, this would be a different story. But it hasn't, and now we're going to have to live with what we've got.
I've been told that my land is landlocked.
That's why we wouldn't have approved this kind of a thing had it right. come through our office. We would have worked that out before we got to this kind of situation. But it's after the fact now, so we've got to...
Bought a house. I paid cash for the thing. And they're telling me there's a possibility I can't go home.
I don't think that's...
I think you've got easement.
I don't think that's how you...
I think he's got easement rights.
Well, don't get bothered yet. We'll let you go home tonight.
Yeah.
You might not get out, but you can go home.
I bet we can figure it out.
Okay.
Other questions?
Okay.
If this property... Now, my property ain't going commercial. I hope. I'm against it. Mm-hmm. If this property goes commercial, what about my taxes? Are they going up?
Yours wouldn't.
Yours won't.
Huh?
Yours would not.
If that's commercial property over there and...
That's their property. That's not... You don't pay taxes on their property.
No. But the improvement, anywhere I've ever lived, if stuff has improved around me, my property tax goes up.
If it makes your property worth more, then you probably become worth more, and because of that, your taxes will go up if your property's worth more. But it won't change the zoning or the classification for tax purposes. You'll still be residential and taxed at a 19% rate and not a 32% rate. But anything that goes in next to you that's extraordinarily nice could bring up the value of your property.
That's what I'm talking about. If this goes in, and my property tax is probably going to go up.
No.
Well, that's just what he said.
Well, no, that's not quite what he said.
Your property
is going to raise. If it raises the value of my property tax is going up.
But it raises the value of your property. Most people come in here concerned about the value of the property going down.
I'm retired.
Right.
I live on Social Security. I can't afford to be paying high taxes and this and that. But
okay.
That's beside the point. That was one of my questions.
Do you have another question?
But I can't think of it.
Okay.
I'm not used to speaking.
And where'd you come from?
Huh?
Where did you come from?
Southwest Kansas.
Okay, okay.
Out by Dodge City and Garden and Liberal.
Okay, sure. Well, welcome to Taney County.
Yeah. Well, I hope, I really do. I hope I can enjoy it here.
I hope you do, too.
But I just feel like we found a house that we liked, we bought it, and then all of a sudden, whammy.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's move on, if we may. But I want to make sure, Eddie, that you have the information that he has.
I do, okay. And again, that's what I mentioned when we first started into this. This is one of those situations where property was sold off through a survey that never cleared our office or anything like that. Our recorder records because that's what he does.
Okay.
And consequently, whether it was done in accordance with our rules and regulations or not, these individuals have been allowed to transfer ownership of property.
Okay, let's move on, Mr. Bob Shantz.
Okay. All right. I'm Bob Shands. I live on Hillman Drive, which is in the lower left-hand corner where this property is. It abuts up. It used to abut up to that property, but now I just heard tonight that one parcel is sold, so I guess I'm not. That's why I didn't receive a notice of this meeting. I just found out this afternoon about it. I've been here 17 years. I came from Nashville. And like the other gentleman, I loved it here, too. I'm probably one of the rare people who came to Branson at 4 o'clock one afternoon and bought a place 11 o'clock the next morning. Now, I don't think there's anybody else. There may be, but I don't think so. That's a shorter period of time. I love the view. Since I've lived there, I've known four of the previous owners of the large house that was there. It's been subdivided now, but I knew four of them, and they were going to put a place for orphan boys and girls. Well, that seemed nice. I like to help orphan boys and girls. And then I found out they come from various parts of the state where they rob, steal, kill people, and they're going to live next door to me. So that went down the tube. That man went somewhere else. Then the bed and breakfast deal. And now this. When I came here, the property near me was supposed to be a certain amount of acreage for a house and whatever. Now you people allowed a trailer court to come in near me. I've got $500,000 worth of homes, and I've got run-down trailers sitting. You've got to go by and see this one. In fact, Frank, there's one sitting on about 30 cinder blocks with a jack on it. And, yeah, okay, Eddie's seen it. That is going to kill somebody someday. The wind blows around there at Knox Street. It's going to blow that over. This is not right, and I hope you people consider what's going on here. Now, the other gentleman mentioned the traffic. I live here 17 years, and certain people move in. That's great. They buy a place. It takes a while to learn that road coming in from T Highway. There's one turn, another turn, another turn, and 25 cabins with these people not knowing where they're going. I don't know. I'm going to start saying my prayers twice as much, because coming down that road in the morning, even now, people who live there, you meet people, whoa, you got to pull over. And it happens. But with 25 new people there every week, every weekend, couples, they're not going to know the twists and turns of that road, and it's not good for that. And I know when they had the boys and girls over there, I don't think they fully put into effect what they were going to do. But I'm trying to sit on my deck, 1,000 square feet of deck. I sit there trying to watch Lake Taneycomo, and I can hear them singing. And is that going to happen with the marriage counselors? I don't know. But and I do know from, I've known four of the previous owners, they had problems with their wells. Now, there's not enough space there to dig the wells to put 25 cabins on it, because they have problems now. And like one of the gentlemen said, that trailer court that's there, there's a septic tank. And I've gone through, sometime I hear the bell ringing. If it overflows, it goes ding, 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 ding. And who do you call? You know, I was told, call DNR. I've talked to Mr. Coxey about it. I've talked to others. This is a nice area. I've got everything that I have in my homes. Mom passed away. I still have the house. We don't need 25 cabins over there with people coming in for marriage. I mean, I've been divorced 49 years, and I don't need no marriage counselor. So, well, that's okay. The truth. I mean, I did it once, and once is enough. But I don't know what he wants to do there, but being as in 17 years, four other people have had it and come in and out, have ideas, may move out. I'm wondering, like the gentleman said, is the man licensed? What's he going to do? Let him go somewhere else, because the roads are narrow, they're twisty, they're turning, and I'm worried about my life. So,
okay. Thank you. And do you travel Sunset?
Yes.
Okay, so you travel down Sunset to get over to your
property. Yes, I turn a little before that. My home is this area.
Okay.
It's right where that line goes.
If you'll remember, I believe the street right there where it would be Ladybug. Is that correct?
Ladybug, right.
If you'll remember, a few months ago, we did a project for a gentleman that wanted to create frozen
Yes.
Frozen products, frozen ice products. And that is the Tanicomo RV Estates, is that what that is?
Well.
I mean, that's what the sign says out front.
Yeah, that's what it says, but that's bad. I mean, there's cars now that people come in there. I don't know what they told you, but I don't believe. Go ahead, you're laughing. It's not what.
I know what you're saying. I was out there. Benita and I were out there just a few. Well, matter of fact, Ms. Martin was out there with us, and you saw the one particular structure that he was talking about.
That ought to be against the law in anywhere. I mean,
unfortunately, in Taney County, we don't enforce any building.
Well, that's too bad. Let's do something to make it enforceable because somebody's going to get killed there. I wouldn't want to live in that house.
I was amazed.
I wouldn't want to live. I mean, the way the wind blows there, last night, I said, boy, I bet you it blew that thing over. But it will blow it over. Somebody's going to get hurt. And you allow this to happen. So please, you know, study this project carefully before you make an approval.
Okay, Mr. Shenz, thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis Moore.
Okay, what I have to say about it there, that road going to Sunset Inn Road, I own all the land on both sides of that road. I've got a 160-acre farm there. And these people run up down the road there 50, 60 mile an hour, run over the dogs, the cats. They run my little woman off the road twice. And we don't need that crap down there. And it's been that way now for ever since. The last three people that's lived down there, we've had traffic up and down the road and parties and hoorah on and carrying on, and it's not safe. My grandkids come down there to ride up and down the road on the bicycle, and they can't even ride up and down the road because people try to run them off. And I have to move cattle across the road back and forth, and it's not even safe for that. And then we want to move this something like this in, and make probably 20, 30 more cars a day going up and down through there. And this is a dead-end road. And another thing I got to say about that little road they're talking about going there, that Ely Road, that road's not even supposed to be there. It's supposed to be plumb down there at the end where that line is. And you can go over and look at the court records that it's there. And another thing I want to say about that big house that they're moving in over there, all their patios and stuff out there that they built, is built out of the rocks that come out of my rock fence over there that they stole while I was out in Utah hunting. They tore down all my fences. They bulldozed out one fence. They pushed out the corner markers. And the prosecuting attorney says there's nothing you can do about that unless you see them do it.
That's what I was going to ask.
And you can check the court record. It should be in the sheriff's department over there. Well, I called the sheriff out to it. And we just don't need that kind of stuff down there.
And they are the current owners of the property?
No, they're not the current owners that did that, but that's what has happened in the past. The last owner that was there, this DeLalo or whatever his name was, that went bankrupt, and the bank took it over and sold it out to these people.
Okay. That's not the people that have it now that
right.
did that.
Right.
No, he said that was Mr. DeLalo. Is that correct?
Okay. And Mr. Moore, again, would you say 160 acres... in agricultural use.
That's right, and that road runs right through
and
the middle of it.
Could you identify where that is?
Well, it's pretty obvious to see. You can see where all the open land is there all the way up through there.
So that 7.55 acres, is that yours?
That's mine.
Okay. Okay. And on the other side and to the...
On the other side of the road's mine, too.
Okay.
Mr. Moore, you said this road dead ends, so it... You
do what?
You said this road, the Sunset Inn Road dead ends down there, so it dead ends on your property?
No.
Oh, that's what I'm asking.
But it's right against my property.
Okay.
If I put my fence in there on the line, it's going to be right in that Ely Road.
Sure.
Where they tore it down, back in their stuff in there when they were putting gravel into it, their bobcats and stuff.
Okay.
And we just don't need stuff like that down there anymore. And we don't need a Playboy mansion down there in the backyard like they got out in California.
Again, for clarification, you said that Ella Road was on where that line, that property line is.
Yeah, where that says Ellie right there. That road's been there for over 60 years.
You said there was documentation that showed that.
No.
Okay.
That's supposed to be plumbed down there to the end where that other line is down there. See where the road goes down there at the end?
How do you know it was supposed to be there?
Because it's in the court records.
And that's my question. what are those records? And do you have any dates for those records?
Well, I've got the whole plat at the house somewhere that shows all of that. See, my folks has lived down there for 100 years. So, you know, I got a pretty good idea where stuff's at and where it was. And like this fella said here, they was trying to cut him off that road. They couldn't cut him off that road if they wanted to because he's been there for 60 years.
Okay. And we're talking about this existing Ella Road has been there for 60 years. That's what you're saying. Okay. So the issue of it used to be up by the property line.
Well, no, they never did put it to where it was supposed to be.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Okay. And all this stuff they're building back there, I don't know where they're going to build it because there's not enough land for it.
Okay.
That's all been sold off to all them houses and stuff back in there. So it doesn't make sense to me what's going on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr.
Moore.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Brad Hoffman, would you like to wait?
Yes.
Okay. Barry Chael? Okay.
Sholi.
C-H-O-L-E.
That's
okay,
right.
Barry.
I am the property owner of this house right there that was sold off. It's 2.6 acres right adjoining to them. We use Ella Lane. It ends up in our front yard. And so that's where we are in speaking to this. I first of all want to say that I have met and known this organization for many years. We know some of the counselors that work with them, and they are very viable ministry organization, and that I do not think that there should be anything negative said about what they're doing or what they're accomplishing. I think it's very, very positive. So from that perspective, know that I would greatly like to have them as neighbors. I like what they're doing, like what they're about. There's a proximity issue. We're right there with each other, and we've already had dialogues with each other about that issue and how to work together. With the Ella Lane coming in, we do have access to our property legally on the documents. And so, you know, it will be a traffic issue. I think that is something that obviously is something you'll be looking at. And so I have nothing negative about the project itself. I do have a question which maybe some of you can address or at least look into, and that is the water table. If we're going from one unit to 30 units, how does that affect our wells and how does that play out? So it's more of a question than a concern or a negative comment. I think my comment would be positive in support of NIM and what they stand for. And I hope that they can make something work there. If not the big plan, maybe a downsized version or something. If they're amenable to that.
Okay, but your easement issues, that's not an issue.
It's not an issue for here. Okay. That's all been, we took care of that when we purchased the property.
Okay, thank you very much.
May I ask Mr. Shaw two questions real quick? We heard comments since you live there. This has been just bugging me. People bringing boats in there? And
There's no boat access there, so I don't know where the boats are going. They're not going there.
Well, I didn't know if maybe that went on down somewhere.
Oh, no. Ours is a straight drop-off. You can get down to the river, but it takes quite a hike and a rope.
Well, I know the access for this property is almost like an elevator to get down.
It is. It's very steep. And you know, we own the property here, and you can work your way down there, but like I said, you almost need a rope to get back up. My son and I were down there last weekend, and we were very sweaty. So I don't know boats coming in there. I'm not sure unless they're going down into this gentleman's property here.
Yeah, I just didn't know. When I was down there, I didn't look like you could get to anywhere.
But I will say this, which may clarify some of the comments earlier with all the thing. We bought this property in December, and we have totally remodeled the house. It is our second residence. And so we live, and we come here. We've spent 2.5 months there so far this year living here with our family. But we did renovate the whole thing out, and we had construction people coming and going, and that may be part of what they were experiencing, an increase during that time, just to clarify it a little bit. So it wasn't permanent traffic. It was more, more, you know, partly what we were using maybe, perhaps.
And my second comment to you concerning the well, when this thing would grow to a place where, or if it grows to a place where they would need to add their treatment plant, change the existing facility. It is going to be required by Department of Natural Resources that they have what's called, you know, a commercial well. The water here comes in different aquifers at different levels. And with a commercial well, they require it to go into what's called the Ruby Dew aquifer, which is, I think, about 1,000 feet, if I'm not mistaken, a little deeper. And then they case back up on that well so that it doesn't allow any outside contaminants to go down through the well into the aquifer, or it doesn't allow bleeding from the aquifer above into the aquifer below. So that would be a requirement that DNR would have that. And from what I've been trained and told, that one aquifer shouldn't affect the aquifer above if everything has been done correctly.
If something happens, what would be the recourse at that point?
I can't speak to that.
Get a lawyer. Okay, thank you.
I don't know. I mean, that's like everybody around here. If my well goes dry, who's at fault? I understand that, but they would be required to have a different type of well with different requirements.
Thank you for that insight. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I ask you something?
Could she ask me something?
No, not at this. I'm sorry. He is our witness. If you wish to speak, okay, we'll. Not at this time, please. You needed to sign up if you wish to speak, but I'll recognize when we get through. Okay, let's move on. We have Mr. Mark Pyatt.
I could. I'd like to voice the end with
okay, and then we have Bill Davis. Okay.
Well, Denny got all good questions in. I own this property here and the property next to it, and then that's my neighbor Rod's place. One of the reasons we bought out here is because it's quiet. It's a dead end. I mean, if you saw more than 8 vehicles or 10 vehicles a day, that was the traffic, you know, for us. I've got a couple boys, and they like riding also. The road itself is just a little bit more in a single lane, but it's not a double lane now. We were experiencing a large increase in traffic. I mean, large increase. The road, Ella Lane, when you go down it, it's got trees on both sides. It's a single lane. And I personally have seen 3 vehicles hit those trees. And I've lived there for about 2.5 years. So there's a major danger right there. And if you're throwing people in, city folks that aren't used to our roads, as Denny said, you know, that's a problem in itself. Is it Sholey? Sholey?
Please address your comments to us.
Oh, okay.
And not to other
Mr. Sholey, I've never met him. He's one of my neighbors. But I believe he's got a business going in also, is what I've heard through the grapevine. I could be completely wrong. But I heard he has a business also. It was Thunder Ranch, which that's what it was called 2 or 3 times back. And that was with a church group, had big plans. And on these cabins, I'd like to know what the size of these cabins are. I'd like to get some kind of an idea of what his actual plan is. Because if you put 25 cabins out there, it does sound like a timeshare. Now, I'm not going to say anything bad about timeshare because that paid for my house. I'm in the timeshare business for 30 years. But it sounds like a timeshare development on my end. The value of the property, I believe it's this gentleman here, one of the attorneys. Are you the prosecuting attorney?
No.
You're just one of the attorneys.
I'm Kenny Council.
There you go. You've mentioned that with the development he's actually putting in, it could possibly raise the value of our properties. But at the same time, the quality is not there. It could drop the value of our property also. My home is about $500 million, and I'd hate to see it drop in value. So that's, these are my personal concerns here. Other than that, that's about it. Thank you.
Okay. Do you still wish to speak, or did he deal with your issues? Okay. Are we ready for Mr. Mark Pyatt and Brad Hoffman then? Okay. So do you want to come up in tandem or...
we'll let Brad go first here.
Okay.
Good evening. My name's Brad Hoffman. I'm with Young Design Group, and I'm the land planner, landscape architect for the project, and Mark Pyatt, one of the owners, is here also to address any questions. Eddie, do you have the latest plan for the project?
I believe I do.
Project? Okay, great.
Do you want to go to the whole thing?
No, this is... that's not it. I don't know that. Did we get the new plan put into the PowerPoint presentation?
Well, I thought that was it because this is
right.
That's it. Is that not it?
That's it right there.
That's it. Okay.
Evidently didn't get phase one, but
okay. That is
one.
It.
And then there's also the picture here of the cottage.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you, Eddie. This is the style of cabin. That we would be looking at. It would be in 400 to 800 square feet. They are small cabins, very residential in feel, using rock and timbers. Could you go back to the plan, please, Eddie?
I can go back to the other one, but you said...
No, this is great. Thank you. The Ella Lane is named Ella Lane for 911 purposes, to give the 911 a physical address. However, it is our land, and the existing cabin here and here have driveway access easements across our land in order to access their property. with the plan, we are... in the existing easement, the plan you saw on concept hearing night, it had a road that went around that easement. We have revised the plan to actually use the existing easement. It ended up, it's a nicer plan. It saves trees, and it's really been a blessing. We have this is the church and also counseling center. We've combined into one building. One, it reduced cost, but it also reduces building footprint on the property.
Okay, so that changes your request then.
No, the land uses are all the same.
Okay.
However, the I guess the number of buildings on the property. It's a multi-use building. That's where the counseling will actually take place. And then when they have activities, it's an open area. When it rains, you can use that facility inside to facilitate that. I would like Mark just to address their company and their history and where they've been at this time.
Mark Pyatt, I'm the co-president of NIM. I'm not actually the owner. We are a 501c3, but I'm representing the organization here. A couple of things around, accreditation and track record. I do want to mention that all of our counselors are licensed counselors, and they are either a family and marriage therapist or licensed professional counselors or a psychologist. No one on our staff does counseling that is not a licensed professional. We're members of the American Association of Christian Counselors and all of those organizations that would lend credibility to what we do. We've got about a 10-year track record. We We see about 400 couples a year. They fly in from all over the nation. We have an intensive program that they arrive on Sunday, depart on Friday. It's not, a nightly rental type of program. These folks come in. They spend 32 hours in counseling over 4 days in a group counseling experience. It's a tremendously successful. We're seeing right at 85% of those marriages that are in crisis remain married 2 years after their experience, quickly being recognized on a national level for some of our success. So just from a credibility standpoint, I want to put that out there to let you know what we're doing is legitimate work, and it's not a fly-by-night.
How long have you been here? You said 10?
Yeah, the program's been in existence for about 12 years. Originally, it was part of Gary Smalley's ministry. And then in 2003, we became a nonprofit organization, and this is kind of the...
And you've been in this area. Obviously.
We've been in this area for a long time. Prior to this, we were at Paradise Point and provided all of our intensives out of Paradise Point. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that were mentioned, and if I can just address those, with Gail and Carol Genlisberger, I understand there are some easement issues. We've went up, we've met with them. We certainly want to help resolve the easement issue, and I've told him that. We've mentioned that on that 13 feet, it would be great to extend an easement to him to give him access if that's not there. We've said in exchange what we'd like to do is have a landscape easement on that 13 feet to plant some trees in there to create a little bit of a buffer between our drive and Mr. Davis. He's indicated he's not interested in that. We still are interested. I don't know. We're still interested in helping resolve the easement issues. I think there's a couple of easement issues in there. We sure are in favor of resolving that.
Does Mr. Davis have an easement issue?
No.
Okay.
Actually, if I can step over here. Mr. Genlisberger, his house is here. There's a 13-foot section here. And we've indicated to him we would like to extend an access easement on Ella in exchange for a landscape easement here to create a barrier for Mr. Davis. He's not interested in doing that, but regardless of whether he's interested in doing that.
Okay, why? I don't understand why Mr. Davis's property, which is not adjacent to Ella.
It's not adjacent to it.
So where is Mr. Davis's property?
Mr. Davis's property is here.
Let me go
Mr.
back.
Mr. Genlisberger owns 13 feet, and then NIM owns this 50.
Okay, okay.
And again, this would be Mr. Davis's property here.
That's Mr. Genlisberger's.
That's Mr. Genlisberger's there.
If you can see this little bitty space between this property line and that property line, that's the 13-foot easement that exists. Now, I don't know if that's the easement for to get to that property now or how it was written. But
okay.
I don't think that's an easement. I think he actually owns that land.
Yes, he owns
that.
Well, somebody said there was a 13-foot easement.
It's a 13-foot property that he owns that ties him back to Sunset Drive.
Okay.
So he actually has road frontage on Sunset.
Okay.
And then Mr. Davis's property, go back, is the house that sits right there on Sunset, right?
Yes.
And its access is off of Sunset.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Concerning the project possibly going timeshare or to some other use, Taney County is not a traditional type of zoning county where you zone something commercial and then it allows this large gamut of uses upon that. Taney County is you come and you present what you want to put on your property, and that is the only thing that you can do with that property. So that doesn't open a floodgate in the future. If anybody wants to do something different in the future, they would have to come before the board and ask for permission to do that. And we have
you've moved more than once, right, from Paradise Point to here.
Right.
If you moved from this location to another location, you would have cabins that are existing. And what kind of use could those cabins be put to if you no longer were there?
Right. And if it was going to be a timeshare use and be used and sold, because then you're actually selling those cabins, and in this plan, it's all private. We cannot sell the cabins.
In the move from Paradise Point, if I can, this is a property we're owning. We were in a lease environment out of Paradise Point. We have no intention of moving from here.
In order to sell those, you would have to come back through and subdivide the land in order to sell as timeshare or even sell the cabins as a single-family home. Under what National Institute of Marriage is all held in common under one owner, and they bring people in and provide them counseling. So it's totally separate, and somebody would not be allowed. That scenario could not happen without coming before the board and presenting that to you. As far as the density is concerned and the traffic, the property is 10.2 acres. Under a single family, if this were developed as single family, the density could easily be up to 4 dwelling units per acre. This, if you include the 25 cabins plus the existing home, which is 26 dwelling units, that's at 2.5 dwelling units per acre. So as far as the density and the number of units, it is very low on a residential land use. And as you see, the actual cabins are a residential feel and look. And the density, I believe, is below that, because if you make this single family and say you have 3 dwelling units per acre and you have 30 units, one, you're going to have kids and families, which are going to have usually 2 or 3 cars per person, and which would really increase the traffic. So I believe and feel this is less intensive a use than a single family neighborhood. And I feel it is very compatible where it is with the surrounding neighborhood.
Okay, Brad, any other points that you want to make?
And as Mark said, as far as the access to the surrounding properties, we would love to work with them on providing that if there is an issue.
Was there a there's a cabin back over there? If you're looking at the house, it's over to your right, a little bit behind it.
This one right here.
Yeah. How are they getting to their house?
There is an existing access easement, right? You see the road?
Okay.
It is through that. That is an existing easement, and we will leave that in place.
So you've worked that out with them?
Yes.
When the property was split on, there was an agreement signed by the person who was splitting that property off to the person who was buying it to allow them what we'd call an ingress-egress easement to travel over that back and forth. They don't have the right to repair the road or to do anything to widen it or anything like that, but they have the right to traverse. They don't have the right to stop and anything like that, but they do have to give them access to their house for that.
When they were here last time, I think that we had asked for a written understanding between the two houses and...
Right, and that's, I'd mentioned that to you as we were reading the staff report, because there was talk at that particular time of changing where the access easements, where they lie and everything like that, and I believe...
So those won't be changed.
I believe that's what he said.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, about that understanding in writing, was there anything cracked up on that?
No, the... on our previous plan, we were actually changing the access easement.
I realize that.
And we're not doing that anymore. We're using the existing easement.
I think to answer your question, there is a recorded, with their warranty deed, there was recorded easement.
Yes.
Showing that they had easement to that property. So they do have a legal claim to that easement, yes, sir, as far as using it.
Okay. I'm about to pull this to conclusion, okay. Mr. Preston.
One question, please. In conventional engineering, as far as traffic engineering goes, it's typically about 7 car trips per day for a residential home. Do your participants stay on site for the duration, or do they run into town and pick up a show and get groceries and
They arrive on Sunday and depart on Friday. It would be uncommon for them to leave. I'm not going to tell you they won't leave property, but they will stay there for the duration of the counseling. They have 32 hours of counseling in 4 days. So, you know, they're in counseling until about 7 o'clock on a Monday. They're in counseling until 6 o'clock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And generally they go back to the, you know, they'll go back to their room and crash or go sit and process, but it's not a, it's not where they're going to be coming to the property and leaving the property on a daily basis.
Thank you.
Okay, unless there are further questions from the members of the commission, I'm closing the hearing on this. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Address your question to us, please. Come forward. And I'll, okay, but we're going to make it fairly quickly. We still have other business to conduct. Okay. Uh-huh.
I just got a couple of questions.
Okay, and stand back there, please. Okay. And your questions. What are your questions?
Okay, this easement was filed at 8 a.m. December 13th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
How can he give me an easement to drive on Ella Lane when there's already easement there? And the only way he's going to give me an easement if I give him that 13 foot as an easement to burn his shrubs and stuff. Otherwise, he's saying my land is landlocked.
I don't think that's the situation. So does anybody want to tackle that?
Well this when this split was made, easement was granted, and they're saying they're going to recognize the easements that have been granted and transferred with warranty deed.
Okay, but I do know that the only way that they can own that land is if they buy the easement back from the county.
They don't want to own that land.
No, sir. They've granted an easement. They still own the land. They've granted an easement. But they still own the land.
Okay. I'm still concerned about getting in
our okay. And rightfully so. But it sounds like it's taken care of. Was there another question?
Looks like a road. Acts like a road.
No.
Okay. Okay. Then I'm declaring the hearing on the National Institute of Marriage Project closed for the evening. Again, we vote on this next Monday night. Let's move on to the public hearing for Environmental Learning Campus.
This is the Division 3 staff report for the Environmental Learning Campus, dated July 12, 2010, case number 10-8. This is the public hearing for the Environmental Learning Campus, section 14, township 24.
Okay, would you all please leave quietly? Quietly and quickly. Okay.
Before I get into this, Ms. Kleinfelter, would you make sure that they have a representative here?
Is there a representative from the Environmental Learning Campus? So what's that all about?
We know where it is.
Okay, then we simply do not deal with that and in public hearing. Let's move on then to the last project, the Alton Construction Office.
Alton Construction.
Well, we asked if anybody was here.
We're
saying there's no representative here for the project.
No, I'm not a representative.
Okay. Because there is no representative here, we are not hearing the case.
Okay, so what does that mean? I'm sorry.
That means that if and when they contact the office, we will schedule another public hearing, and then you return.
Road, so
got it.
They'll be the same kind of notification again. I don't know if you got a letter or what you got.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
And that would have to happen again.
Madam Chair, if I could make a request, these people did take time out of their day to come to tonight. If you have some short concerns that you would like to bring forward, I'm requesting that we might listen to it.
Okay, I have Deborah Hughes is the only person who signed up. So,
right. She's also a neighbor.
Okay,
okay.
Property
close, but I'm Deborah Hughes, and I do have own a home on 718 Reno Springs Road, which is near that property. Our concerns are, I'm not necessarily against it, but want to know more about it, and evidently there's tigers involved in this. It's a tiger sanctuary. Reno Springs Road and Bear Creek is not a road for traffic. We have bridge issues. So that was our concern, is the roads and the traffic. But want to know more about what they want to do. And the safety. Don't want tigers. Tigers in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Not running loose, at least.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Now, if and when they come back, we would reschedule and re-notify.
Okay.
So you would have another opportunity.
Okay. Because they own Afshar's own property right next to them also. Okay. So.
And then she might want to sign up to speak as well, or whoever else you have.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Ma'am. Part of the packet they get, it was mentioned to them that roads and traffic were issues they should consider.
Okay, and bridges.
I do not have a sign-up sheet for Altom.
Altom Construction has pushed them on.
Pushed?
Because they didn't get their application to us.
Did we serve them any kind of... Because that's our issue to get them back in here.
Yes, sir, it is. And they were in last month. Sean, you weren't here, I don't believe.
No.
They came in, they talked. This board agreed to let them use that as concept hearing, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Their job was to get us the application and then to appear here tonight for public hearing. All the notifications and everything went out, as far as I know, as mailings, everything was posted. There was quite a bit to do up down in that area when we were there. I did get a call on Thursday afternoon or Friday, no, it must have been Friday, stating that the secretary had been given the application, wanted to know what her options were. I said she could get that to me by 5 o'clock on Friday. We would take it and go ahead and proceed on. She asked if there was any possibility that they could push that. And, of course, in our normal procedures, once you've had concept, you can push it up to 120 days. I know there's some other issues that go on with this and everything, but, they don't have the application in and really can't. Now, whether you want to make them start all over and do concept and everything like that,
no,
that's
fine.
Right.
If they've already went through concept, I guess that's okay. But
well, we use that.
They haven't done anything they said they were going to do
yet. Didn't you put the stop work order on them until this?
That's what I want to know.
I will check and see. If I haven't, do you want me to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were supposed to build a buffer fence.
They haven't done anything. They said they
right.
All the equipment come in and no fence.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, we had some concerns whether more equipment was coming in when we were there, found out that it wasn't.
I thought we made a motion that they had to come back to go through the full hearing again.
That's exactly right. And that's what they would be doing, the public hearing part of that tonight, because last month when he was here.
That's what they're doing now, right? Though.
Right. They are starting back through the process, yes, sir. But this board agreed to let them have they asked for, and the board agreed to let them have.
I think they need to come back to and do the concept again.
That's just going to let them store their stuff there longer.
Okay.
I will place a stop work order on the property tomorrow. If I don't already have one in place, I may have one. I don't know that I do. But if I don't, I will put one tomorrow.
Because right now it just seems like it's to their advantage to continue to push it off, and we're the ones that asked them to do it when they didn't do what they were supposed to do to begin with.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, with the stop work order and the process that we have to go through to get everything there before we could really sink our teeth into it, it'll take us about 120 to 180 days. But I can go ahead and start the process in case this thing goes awry. So,
okay.
But I mean, just because I put a stop work order in there tomorrow doesn't mean everything will stop.
Okay. Let's move on to the permit renewal request. We have Fountains on Fall Creek and Greer Condominiums. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. If you remember, Fountains on Fall Creek was a project that was approved. Mr. Rubin's here, I think I saw, so we're good to go on this. And I'm just going to tell you what I know. But this was a project out on Fall Creek next to Country
Bluff Estates.
Country Bluff Estates. It had been approved as a multi-use project, came back through here. We had several renewals on it. This board chose not to renew that. The Board of Adjustment heard the case and then chose to approve that. It is time for the one-year approval. It still sits as it's at, and it's within its requirements to request an approval. So, Mr. Ruda, come on down.
Okay.
My name is Mark Ruda. I'm one of the principals of the Fountains of Fall Creek property. It's a 58.5-acre property on Fall Creek Road, directly across Fall Creek Road from Thousand Hills Golf Course. Previously, this property has been approved for a multi-family development. With the economy the way that it is, that development has not been started. Based on the new requirements that we have, that each renewal now has to be brought back to you guys directly to be heard. That's the reason that I'm here. So, if you have any specific questions?
Are there any substantial or?
No, we've made no changes to the concept.
If there's no other questions, I make a motion to approve the renewal as presented based on previous information.
All those in favor of approving the renewal as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. And while Mr. Ruda is standing there, we have a request for... Did y'all finish voting? I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you had. A request for a permit extension for the Greer Condominiums, which is out on 265 near the... what's the subdivision name out there?
Friendly Hills.
Friendly Hills, Gunner Hill Road there. This project was approved a long time ago. This is the condominiums at the bottom there.
Uh-huh.
Right. Of course, there was a lot to do about
this. This is the condominiums that are on 265.
This is up front where the hill has been cleared.
Correct, uh-huh.
And everything. And if I'm not mistaken, has been tied up a little bit in litigation or
something. That property is not.
Okay. So it is looking at its last extension, I think, is where we are. And he's just requesting that permit extension. Nothing's been done out there. I don't know how the hill looked. But it has been cleared. It is stabilized. There is no construction on it at this time.
Okay, and Eddie, you said last extension, which means this would be its third year?
This would be the third.
So, again, my name is Mark Ruda. I'm, again, a principal of this property. This is a 22-acre parcel located on Highway 265, right across the street from Animal Safari Road, just north of Chateau on the Lake, to kind of give everybody bearings. Property was purchased a few years ago, and concept plan for a condominium project here as well. Again, with the economy, this project has not been started. Here for an extension, and the project has been unchanged. The request is unchanged at this time.
Are you ready to start work on it now?
Not at this point.
Mr. Ruda would need to exercise his option so that it does, in the event that he... in this coming year would choose to start construction, he doesn't have to come back through this whole process again. Once this past year, you know, this next year goes by, he will have to come back before you, and I can see he's probably going to be a little gun-shy to do that, considering what went on last time that he was with us. So he's just exercising his option to have...
I think he called us mean.
No, I didn't call you mean. I'm just saying that he understands there's no guarantee that when he brings this project back that the neighborhood might not have changed enough to where you're going to say no. So he needs to exercise his option, which is within his rights to do that. So.
Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion similar to my last one. If there's no significant changes to the project as presented, to go ahead and approve the renewal.
Second?
I'll second that one, too.
Okay. Been moved and seconded that we accept the proposal and extension, third-year extension for Greer Condominiums. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Got it. Okay, old and new business.
In your packets this time, you should have gotten a kind of an update of some things that we discussed concerning proposed zoning districts that were given to you by the Tanny County Commission. We had brought to you... one agricultural district, three residentials, two commercials, industrial, and an overlay district. As we discussed here a little bit, it was suggested that the probability that we would need two agricultural districts, and we talked about moving our commercial districts from putting our special use permits in the neighborhood commercial and making that a small commercial, and then making our other commercial district, our larger commercial units, as our special use permits do not change the residential nature of the property. since then there's been a lot of questions concerning some different things about PUDs and different things like that. I would tell you that that's something that we're going to try and contain in the what we would call the overlay district. What we're looking to do is get back to the elected commission a recommendation that would say, as you go out to look at the county as it currently exists, these are the designations that we think will fulfill the need for definitions. Now, if you go out here and you look at this area, you can say, that's agricultural. It's 100 acres. There's no house on it. What I'm hearing from you guys, this is residential agricultural. It's got a house on it. It's 5 acres or less or something like that. So we would call that agricultural residential. I think is what we wanted to do. It would still keep its agricultural status, everything like that, and of course would allow all of the same basic principles that you would have in your full-blown ag if it was a 1,000-acre tract, the difference being the density of homes, somewhere between, residential structure, no more than one per 2 acres, as opposed to the full-blown ag where you may call that to be 1 per 10 acres or something like that. I believe, as Mr. Pingleton, we discussed about moving the large commercial up to C1, and I did that for the update that I sent you guys. However, I think we're going to have to take that back down to C3 because each one of these functions is supposed to have the ability to nest into the function that was before it, and I can't take full blown commercial and then move it into C3, which would have been the neighborhood commercial. I can take my neighborhood commercial and put it into my full-blown commercial, and then I can take all these that came before it and nest it down into there, but I can't. That would be taking it back the other way.
I don't think that's what I asked, but that's
okay. That's what I understood. Yeah. I'm sorry. What we're looking for, gentlemen, is if we can discuss quickly or shortly or something like that, I would really like to try and take something back to the commission. When they gave us this, they asked if we could try to have something back to them within 30 days. If that's not feasible, it's not feasible. But would like to kind of look at what you've got and see what you think about the issues and have a little discussion on it, I guess. So,
I have a question about manufactured RV parks. Are you talking about manufactured home parks, or are you really talking about recreational vehicle parks?
We currently address both of those in our code book. Things have gotten a little bit complicated in the fact that you used to have what was called mobile homes, and everybody knew what a mobile home was. But since that time, you're starting to see a lot of manufactured homes, where when they come out and set on site, the undercarriage to get them there is removed, and it's a factory-built home that is now a permanent residence.
It's put on a foundation.
But we still have a need in this county for what I'm gonna call it, for lack of a better word, mobile home parks, where you bring in a living structure, 3-4 bedrooms, could be a double wide, could be whatever, however you want to set it up. I don't really care. And these basically they don't move around a lot. And so that's one. That would be what I call a manufactured home park. We do address that in our code book at this particular time. And it has different rules and regulations as far as lot sizes and setbacks and where they're measured from and things like that. Also, there is a definite need for RV parks. As you know, there's RVs everywhere here, and we're not looking to totally define all of that at this particular time, but it is something that we do define in our book as far as how they're set up.
So should you add manufactured homes / RV parks? Because I'm reading this as manufactured
RVs. Yes,
ma'am.
I'm sorry. That would just be a typo. I am sorry.
Oh, okay. That clarifies my question.
Okay. I didn't understand your question.
You could have just said you need a slash there.
Manufactured home / RV parks.
There's two different things. And so in this situation, this would be the designation where we would identify mobile home parks.
Got it.
Or RV parks.
Is there a motion to approve these designations to send on to the commission?
Can I ask one quick question? Uh-huh. Eddie's and I'm not, I don't want to open a can of worms. I just want something clarified. Because it is my understanding, although I have not been able to find it in their codes, that Branson, Hollister, and Stone County, which really upsets me that Stone County does it and we don't, has a separate code for planned development.
Planned urban development?
Yes,
PUDs. They go by a lot of different names.
Okay, PDs or PUDs or whatever. And I wanted to know, because I think, I guess from an industrial development or a development standpoint of the county, if it was well done and done right, it could bring some additional tax revenue and soft industry into it, you know, a mixture. Why is it in the overlay districts as opposed to a separate line item?
When you get into planned unit development, a lot of times there will be a sharing of facilities, parking and access roads and things like that. You may have condominiums, which currently we hold in common. And in a planned unit development, they may hold all the land in common, but they may sell off some of the residential to an individual.
True. But they would still be held to the codes of the development, correct?
In a true planned unit development, you grant some leeway for different things that would work inside that particular unit. So I guess you could say basically when we hear a multi-use type project and everything, we are sometimes approving of planned unit development. We've done that. Mr. Ruda, who just left here, he would be a planned unit development. What we're actually looking to do here would be to, or what our developers would like us to do is to create some situations where some things that we don't currently have provisions to allow, they would be able to do that, or they would be able to buy this piece of land saying, Taney County has in place some rules and regulations for me to be able to do a PUD. And it may just be different kinds of housing. It may not have any commercial in it. It may have all commercial and no housing at all.
Would that address the road concerns
because we don't have there's a lot of issues that arise right now. We don't make provisions to build a duplex and let you own half and me own half. And so they have to hold it in condominium style of ownership, which creates some financing problems. I believe Mr. Caudill could elaborate on that, but I'm not going to put him on the spot just at this particular juncture. We also have some issues with how things would be built because we don't have any way to control to make sure there's an adequate firewall between a shared building unless it goes commercial, and then the fire district steps in. So if we remove the necessity for the fire district to step in, which is what we could do in a PUD, then there's no controls on anything like that. And doing it as a PUD and saying, yes, this is available, we could go in and define, if you're going to build duplexes, this is what we'd like to see, if you're, you know, as far as lot sizes and setbacks and things like that. We can also then, I'm thinking, say we have some concerns here and you need to address these concerns. At that particular time, just as it happened out at Branson Creek here just recently, where they want to keep their roads a little bit different than what our current road standards are, a PUD would give this board and Road and Bridge and everybody the flexibility to make some adjustments to things like that without having to make a change to the code book or to having to go to Board of Adjustment and see if you can get a variance or something like that. So what would happen then is these in the overlay district, these projects would have to come back in. I mean, they would put it all together and they'd come back in and say, I want to present this to you as an overlay district. And guys, this is just my thinking and some reading that I've done. I don't know how it's all going to work out or anything like that. But they would bring that project before you and say, we want to build some duplexes, and then we want to have some single-family homes, and we want to do this, and we want to make our roads in this area this size, and this is the piece of property we want to use for that. And then as far as our zoning is concerned, if that is approved then, on our map, that shows a PUD. And then everything that goes on in that PUD has been predetermined and approved, and then they build to that, to the road standards that they've agreed to or to whatever the case is. Now,
And I think you can't define where the PUD is going to be.
No.
So it could be just about anywhere. We don't know where it's going to make the most sense. So it makes sense to have it as an overlay district rather than saying, these are going to be PUDs here. Well, maybe people don't want to do a PUD here. Maybe they want to do it over here where we didn't even think If it makes sense.
So, in other words, these codes are addressing specific districts. I mean, is because most PUDs are 200 acres or more. And
these are addressing projects that would have the ability, once gaining approval, I'm guessing, to set down in this area and say, inside here, this is the PUD, and this is the rules for inside here.
So we have the flexibility of doing that. Is that correct? Under the overlay?
We will.
If this gets voted in that way, and of course, we've got, like I said, there's a whole lot of work to be done. This is just trying to say, here's some districts that you could use to identify the county. But if we have this overlay district, he could go to somewhere like Mr. Rudis and say, this is a PUD. He could go to the Highway 65 project and say, this is a PUD, basically. And then if somebody wanted to come in, by then you could say, if you're going to do duplexes in here, here's how we do duplexes, but here's some issues you need to address and everything. So that's the only way that I've come up with. If you've got something that will work, I'm wide open.
Not yet, but I might. I just think that they're a viable contender for the growth of and
sure.
a positive growth in Taney County.
They're a wonderful tool.
Because Branson Hills is considered a PUD, is my understanding.
Right.
And I mean, it's well done. It's beautiful. I love Branson Hills Parkway, and I just think it would if we did it right, it would only serve to enhance the
sure.
county. And I think that there we might be able to attract some more investors if we address them specifically.
In reality, Taney County has not been terrible for a developer to come in and want to do multi-use type things. In like the city of Branson and Hollister, there's separation requirements when you change from one type of dwelling to another type of dwelling. They want something.
They have buffers
and everything, which is something you can choose to do if you want. In Taney County, we just say you meet the setbacks.
Yeah.
If it's across the street or next door, you meet the setbacks and we're okay. So they haven't had all that, those restrictions that some of the PUDs would put on them.
Because there would be some zero lot lines, perhaps, in a PUD.
I'm going to, I need to get with you on zero lot lines. Our code book defines zero lot lines as different, not the common wall between a duplex. But that would be something that would have to be happening if we're going to, you know, adopt this and allow that kind of thing.
Well, you know, quite frankly, we're attracting a lot of older people.
Sure.
Baby boomers. Okay, I admit I'm a boomer. when you get to a certain point, you don't want to mow lawns, but you don't want to live in a condominium.
Sure.
And so that would be, to me, I think it would be an answer that's something that we might want to address considering our population change.
There's many issues I think that we can. You know, if I don't think we'll ever get another airport, but if we did, this is where it would fall.
Do we need a motion on your districts
to the commission? Well, you've got people here. I don't know if they're here to speak to this issue or not. If you're comfortable with what we've got, we probably should run through it one time and make sure we've got the corrections and what you want if you do want to try and make a recommendation to the commission.
I'd be really interested in hearing what Mr. Strahan, our assessor, has to say in regards to these issues as we move forward.
Indeed.
I'm all for moving forward, contrary to popular belief, but I am totally shocked that we're making this move tonight of moving forward. I think I attended several meetings in the past and was told that this was going to take a considerable amount of time, possibly as much as 10 or 11 months, maybe a year. And I could see where that would be an issue. This is a fantastic project that will affect the lives of all generations from now on in Taney County. And a massive decision for you, ladies and gentlemen. Not only in the process of hoping you attract to Taney County, but the probability you may be throwing a deterrent from people coming to Taney County. Mentioning and probably shouldn't, a project that I witnessed here on the screen tonight as being unbelievable that this occurred in Taney County, because I just went through the process of building a subdivision, building it correctly, and building it by your standards, could not make a sale till all those standards was met or a bond was posted. And when I see what went on the screen tonight, based on going around the laws, granting easements, and knowing now that we're going to put more rules and regulations in there, and planning and zonings, zoning in particular, that is going to compound these problems for this board and for the future generations of Taney County, I mean, it's my mind, maybe my mind isn't to the point of understanding how that could happen. And I heard a 30-day demand to get this to the commission. I don't see that relevant in any way, form, or fashion in a project of this magnitude. I am totally opposed, as you well know, to this project of defining some of the finest real estate in the United States of America and have it sent back to a board to make a decision whether a project can be completed and these warranty deeds be issued to the seller of a property that might have been in his possession for 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years. You heard a 100-year quote here tonight. And I believe that's a crystal ball that can't be fulfilled. Now, I know we'll reference other counties in this process. And I think the disturbing part to me is at one point I heard the word public hearing used. And I haven't, unless they slid past me, I haven't heard, had a public hearing spoke or published here, if correct or not, to get other people's opinions on what you're fixing to do. Now we have, and Eddie is excellent. Eddie is excellent. I will say Eddie is excellent in what he provides you. I know there has been a problem, and a representative from Aegis is here, and there's problems there that it doesn't matter. But there's more speaking that needs to be done and information given to this board other than those two sources. Those two sources, as good as they are, is not representative of 36 or 8,000 people or maybe in the 40,000 people that this new census will bring to this board. And don't get me wrong, there's very informative people out there. You had Mr. Rudin, you've got big developers out there. And I just used his name because I've seen him here tonight. They have not had one bit of input on this that I know of. Now, is it, I guess the question I would have, is this a controlling factor to these gentlemen? Have they been asked? All I see in the past as sitting here in the audience, and I've not been here every meeting, you know that, and everyone here knows that, but when I do come, I see things put up on this screen that is very problematic under what we have now, and zonings wouldn't have changed it. Zonings would have not changed one of the problems I've seen here tonight. Definitions would have. The project mentioned here tonight is nothing but a transient housing project. That's all it is. Have we went into the laws of transient housing and make a decision on that? The transient housing described in the statutes of being stays less than 30 days. At self-confession, you heard what was going to happen. So we're fixing to make a decision on zoning laws that I don't think, and I apologize that you ladies and gentlemen are prepared or had enough information provided to you. Give the public their opportunity. I know there would be some hostility. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm stepping up here as calm as I can, representing some of these people that has said, James, would you look into that? When is somebody going to get to say anything about this? And I said, and I have told them, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. And then all of a sudden, I hear tonight about a 30-day situation to get this before. I've never seen it. It will affect the assessing officer of this county, whoever he may be or she, in the future. If you're told differently, you have been told wrong. I will testify to that to you today.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The zoning districts is simply one step toward coming up with a code and coming up with a map. And none of this will be law. Right. You're just recommending to the county commission that they go ahead with these zoning districts as they try to work out a code. And that code will have to have the zoning districts and the code, and it will have to have a public hearing here where you approve all that before the county commission approves it. And then after that, there will have to be maps with these zoning districts, if these are the ones that they ultimately go with, that have to have township meetings before they're adopted, correct?
Yes, sir. This is pretty involved, as Mr. Strahan's mentioned. And if you will recall, we did spend almost a month, three different meetings for several hours each meeting, where the public was invited. There was posted. It was there was input or available to have input for those that chose. And several people did show up, and not many people could speak. We are not passing anything as far as a new zoning laws or anything like that at this juncture. This is just a request from the commission. This is something that's been batted around by this board before and the elected commission to because they cannot make a change to anything referring to planning and zoning without a recommendation from the board. So they had their public meetings and everything and decided on some districts and asked you to consider those for them to pursue as the ability to draw what exists in the county at this particular time. As we've looked at that, they did say, you know, we would appreciate it if we could get some kind of a word back, yay or nay, within 30 days. Now, if you can't, you can't.
Is there a code that we're recommending that the county commission adopt, including zoning districts at the present time?
No, sir. All we're looking at is just this particular.
That still will have to be done. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir.
This is the first step in a long process. It's going to take time. I couldn't agree with you more that we need to take time and take the input, and we got to start, and this is where we're starting. It's not an adoption of new codes today, which has been said several times.
And I understand that. I understand it totally, but for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. When you, ladies and gentlemen, send this to the county commission in the financial woes of this county right now, as we have experienced in the last year and going to experience more in the future, this turns loose for engineering studies, lots of massive spending to get these things fixed, for you to come back and approve later. This is not going to be a fee simple project. It's not going to be, we're going to send these, and then the county commission is going to approve them. What's the next step? Nobody even knows where they're at. There's going to have to be people hired, and these engineering firms are going to have to go to work and provide that information to the county commission to make a good decision to send back to you. So this is actually, yes, the first step, and the first step of lots of spending to get these things corrected that nobody has even spoken about at this point. And I know the reason I bring it up, Frank should know, we have tremendous amount of problems making our own budgets to run our own offices at this point. So this decision of we're going to adopt these things is not free, and it's not a one-vote thing. This is going to cost the county tremendously to come up with these things to send back. That aside, that totally aside, I don't believe in what you're doing if nobody has seen it but this board, and the input has been there. I know the public hearings I came to, I never heard anyone speaking on this subject but myself.
I did.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. It's your own.
Yeah, and I'm a citizen of Taney County, and I spoke on it.
I understand.
And the fact of the matter is, set all aside, it's up to the commission to decide whether it's time, now or later, or the future commission or whoever that may be, but they can't make a decision to move forward if we don't give them a starting point to move forward. Whether they decide to move forward or not is their decision. We can't make that decision for them. They know where their money's at. So that set aside, the other side of this is, I couldn't agree more. I want to hear from folks from every part of the county on this, but we got to give them something to look at, and we can't give them something to look at if we don't have somewhere to start. We're starting. We need to start. That's all I got to say about that. We need to start.
In the past week, I've had a gentleman come to me that would be zoned agricultural. He said, I'm in dire financial situation. I've lost it all if I can't sell this in the next 18 months. And he looked me in the eye, of course, with tears, and he said, what do I do? I said, the market's horrible. You're going to have a horrible time. But if this zoning was in place, it would lock his fate.
No, sir.
It would lock his fate.
But they can still change.
And that's not what we're dealing with right now. The issue that we're dealing with, and I will admit that the whole process is evolutionary and that this commission has been somewhat in and or out of that loop. But I want to introduce you to two words, and the first word is descriptive. And I see that what we are doing tonight is coming up with descriptive to be able to apply to what already exists in the county. And that's my understanding of what this is all about. Versus prescriptive, which then becomes the code and the law of the land. And we're a long ways from being prescriptive with this information.
I understand your words, but what ifs is mine that simply covers those words.
What
if these zoning codes would have been adopted last year? They'd have been put in place as it was. What ifs?
Well,
and these trying times of economic conditions, the farmer, will be on the endangered species list in a matter of a year or two with these economic times. We have no way to sell our farms. We can sell them. We can't sell them for farming. We have to sell them for something you're zoning as residential, commercial, or whatever. Or you can't sell a farm for farming because it's not there. I am very concerned on how this will harm the first sale of the farm. And with these economic times, as they say on some last tax issues that got put on ballots, I think it's very bad timing. And that's all I have to say.
Appreciate that. So, again, the question is, do you want a motion from this commission to move to your request, do you want to wait?
If you are ready, unless y'all need to address changes or something like that, I think we should read through this, and if you're ready to make a motion to recommend these to the commission, then we do. If you're not, we're not.
Okay, and what do you want us to read through?
Let me read you
the categories of the zones.
No, I'm just going to read you the proposed districts because the definitions, a little bit were there and everything.
Okay.
This is my understanding of what you thought you might want to present back to the commission. A1, agricultural, 10 acres and above. A3, agricultural residential, up to 10 acres, defined by a density of no more than one residence per 2 acres. And the first one more of a residential of one residence per 10 acres. The R1 residential single family would fall into what our guidelines are now. If it's on septic, 2 acres minimum. If it's a residential neighborhood, 8,000 square foot, 70 foot of frontage. The multifamily will have to be fleshed out still, but this would take in your duplexes. If we're going to go that way, your multifamily units, two up to your condominiums, whatever the case might be. R5 would be strictly dealing with parks for either mobile home parks or for RV-type parks, which are already defined in our code book. C1 commercial would become your neighborhood commercial. You have that different right now on your thing, but so that everything can nest back into each other, C1 would become the smaller commercial that we do, single-standing convenience store, something to that effect, as opposed to a Walmart, which would come in under C3, which would be general commercial. One industrial district, I1, for general industrial being where products are finished out, either from raw materials or from the assembly of several component parts. And then an overlay district where we would have to flesh out and deal with PUDs, airports, multi-use type projects. This is, if that will adequately define, or we can categorize what's out in the county at this particular time, and with this, and you're comfortable with that, then yes, I would say, you know, let's make a motion and take it back to them so that they can proceed on however they choose to proceed. If you think there's more needed or less needed or whatever the case, this is the time to do that.
I thought it was well thought out. I read it and thought it was...
This has been a stumbling block for months and months and months. And I agree with, I appreciate your comments, Mr. Strahan, and I agree with a lot of them. But I feel we need to move forward. This is just another step. I see it taking 18 months, 24 months, or longer to get through to the end of this.
Yes.
So
this
is a critical step that we've been waiting on for months.
Yes.
And it's in the commission's hands as to whether how and at what pace we proceed.
Then the chair would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we move forward and present it to the commission.
I'll second it. Okay.
And that's as I read to you.
As presented to us. Yes.
You want the correction with the slash in there?
Yes.
Yes, please. So, but
the slash in there.
Not manufactured RV parts. Okay. You've heard the motion. Further discussion at all? Okay, call the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. On to the commission.
Yes, I have a meeting scheduled with the commission on Wednesday. I will present this to them. You may get it back a time or two, but we have moved forward.
Okay. Now, there still was an item on the agenda.
There he is. I really don't need to do much with it. I didn't know if you wanted to know anything about the airport. The new sign go up and everything, but it's no big deal. So I really don't need to do anything with that. There is two items that I need to update you on real fast, because you're going to notice that when you get your reimbursement in the mail this next time, there has been a mileage rate change. And it went from 50 cents, I believe it was, or 50 some odd cents, and we're now at 38 cents a mile will be your reimbursement rate. So when you get your checks from this month, that's what.
So we want to complain, we write Obama, right?
That's
you can write whoever, just know I don't have any cash.
I'm not writing check, I'm writing Obama.
I'm just for the money already. So.
Yeah.
And that is based on the state reimbursement level that they just adopted a week ago today. I do want to mention to you that we had the opportunity to have Susan with us and really enjoyed being able to spend the time with her and answer a lot of questions that she had, and hopefully you'll get to see her handiwork next week. And
who was this? I'm sorry?
Susan.
I really want to
go on record as Eddie and Bonita are wonderful teachers. Eddie gave me more information than I was able to process. This man knows Taney County, he knows the codes, and he really enlightened me tremendously, and I think we are fortunate, very, very fortunate to have him and Bonita both with planning and zoning, and I mean that. So,
glory testimony.
As you know, we do this every month and everything, and so if you ever want to spend the time with us going out, you don't have to.
But you did take her out to the airport. No, we didn't get out
no,
to the airport.
No, I wanted to. She will come back with us and
do that. And we didn't get out to
that.
Cedar Creek either, and I really want to go to Cedar Creek.
I want to make sure that you take the opportunity to meet Rick Caudill
you
and everything.
And
Rick Caudill needs to be included in some of these field trips.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. We make this open to any one of you that want to go. If you'll say, I want to go out when you film next time, we'd be glad to do that.
But you have to play secretary. You have to hand the files up and help the files.
Anything else for the good of the order?
I believe I'm done.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Adjourn. See you all next Monday.
Yeah, I didn't realize from the end of orange bin down there. Okay, Doc. It's a scooter. It's 22 miles.
Yep.
I sent these to you.
I sent these to you. Well, the poor guy in his farm.
Evidently, we were having some
an hour out of my day.
Yeah, so what's the deal?
Okay. They are, but when I can't,
it's so much fun.
Right.